Is this station 46?
Valentine's head was tilted to match the poor leveling of the sign's face.
God damn it. Seems like every day I hear that. The friggin' sign is out there, plain as paint. Everything but a spotlight on it. But I still hear, is this station 46 from some shitheel 6 times a week and twice on Sundays? Never fails.
So, this is station 46.
The aged lieutenant turned even redder.
Yes, damn it! This is station 46.
I'm to speak to the commanding officer.
He ain't here, boy. I mean, that's me, seeing as he's out. Whatever the question is, the answer's no. Now, get going before I jail you for breaking curfew, you dunk.
Valentine was happy to swallow the abuse, as long as the lieutenant stayed angry.
Well, I was told by one of your officers to speak to the commanding officer, station 46. That's what I'm here to do, sir.
The lieutenant leaned forward in his rocking chair.
What about?
Well, my boy's watching 2 pen of hogs bit north of here, around Blackie Swamp. There's a lot less hogs in those pens, thanks to some sergeant with a uniform like yours. He didn't pass any scripts or warrants, just took them. But he told me if I had a problem with it to speak to the officer commanding, Station 46, Burn Woods. Walked all day, practically, as I do have a problem with someone just taking my stock.
What the crap, Dunk? Haven't you heard yet? There's been some changes, boy. Southern Command's not riding around handing out script no more. That's all over and out.
Valentine widened his stance.
I don't fight these wars, or know about it from nothing, and I keep my boys out of it, too. I'm short salt and flour and sugar, and thought I'd pick some up and catch up on the news after Christmas. But being short on hogs now, too, thought a trip to town was in order. I want to write on some papers and make a complaint.
A complaint? A complaint.
That's correct, sir.
The old man wavered in perplexity, then looked at Valentine sidelong, under lowered lids, like a bull trying to make up its mind whether to charge or run.
I'll take your statement. I don't expect you'll get the answer you're looking for, but I warned you fair.
Thanks. Would have saved us both some time if you'd done so in the first place.
The older man led him inside the command post. He held the door open for Valentine with a grin, and Valentine suddenly liked the aged lieutenant a little better, and hoped it wouldn't come to killing. Little remnants of both the banking heritage and retail life of the building remained in the form of a vault and stock tables. Valentine looked inside the vault, where arms and boxes of ammunition stood in disarray from the hurried muster he had seen right out of town. A few footlockers and gun cases with Southern Command notations on them huddled in a corner as though frightened of the new pegs and racks. Opposite the vault, a row of rooms held prisoners, confined behind folding metal gates like those used to protect urban merchants' street-side windows from burglars. Valentine counted the men, his heart shrinking 3 sizes when he recycognized their faces. 11 remaining Marines from the Thunderbolt sat in the bare, unlit cells, pictures of grubby despair. Post and the 2 Jamaicans occupied another cell. 2 more in Texan clothes shared another. Jefferson passed him a hint of a shrug. He had dried blood from a cut lip in his beard. The other was a drover named Wilson. Guilt pulled at him with an iron hook. The Marines took in Valentine with darting eyes, but said nothing. The surviving teamster ignored him. Valentine heard a hoot and turned his head to see a pair of grogs in loincloths. Simpler, shorter versions of the golden one known as gray ones. They bore brooms and dustpans, cleaning rags and wood oil. They were the last of Anka's team, the lucky pair who had made it all the way to Haiti and back. Not bright enough to understand Valentine's disguise, they chattered in excitement at his familiar face. Valentine took a step back.
Hell, those things give me the creeps. You got them in town?
The grogs gambled up to him, hooting. Valentine put a long table between him and the excited pair.
Must be the smell of pigs.
Valentine pushed the grogs off.
Don't let them touch me.
The fear in his voice was real enough. If the officer decided to point the shotgun and start asking questions, there wasn't much he could do.
What's all the excitement?
The voice came from the hallway behind the grogs. Valentine looked down at Narcisse. She was uninjured, assuming one didn't count the missing legs and left hand, old souvenirs of her escape attempts on Santo Domingo, and dressed in her customary colorful rags and bandanas. She walked by swinging her body on her handless arm, using the limb as a crutch. An accomplished cook was welcome in any army, and she'd been put to work, judging from the aluminum dish gripped in her good hand. Valentine's sensitive nose detected the aromas of hot peppers and thyme in the steaming mixture of pork and rice. Narcisse looked once at Valentine, and then turned to the officer, pivoting on her left arm like a ballet dancer on point. The grogs forgot Valentine at the smell of food.
You ready to eat, Captain? Extra spicy, just like you ask.
The older man's nostrils widened.
Sure I am.
He picked up a yellowed piece of blank paper and a pencil and handed them to Valentine.
Get lost, boy. Write down your complaint and give it back to me.
This isn't official. It doesn't have a seal.
There's enough for your friend, Captain. He look hungry.
He glowered down on Narcisse.
You're supposed to feed officers first, then the men, and the prisoners long way last. He can try for a meal at the church hall.
Yes, Captain. Sorry, mister. I just do what I'm told. Thank you, Captain.
Valentine picked up the pencil.
Can I write this in here where there's light?
As long as you shut up and stay out of my way, you can do what you like.
Narcisse filled the officer's plate and brought out a plastic water jug with a cup rattling on the nozzle.
You want me to take some to the boys in the tower, Captain?
No, they're on duty. We're short men with the visor out with the riders.
Yes, Captain. Apple cider?
For someone with only one hand, Narcisse acted the part of a servant with skill.
There's some left? Well, sure. Yeah, this is some fine spicy. I'm from Dallas. I tell you, this is good cooking.
Thank you, Captain.
The officer, who never corrected her when she called him Captain, even ate with the shotgun in his lap. Valentine looked at the service pips on his sleeve, wondering why a man with so many years was just a lieutenant, and a junior one at that. Valentine wrote out his phony story in scraggly block capitals. The wall above him was festooned with wanted posters and poorly reproduced photos, perhaps 100 in all. Terrorism and sabotage looked to be the two most common crimes, though speculation appeared on some. He recognized one face, Brostjov, a hard-drinking lieutenant he had served with 6 years ago when he ran with the Wolves of Zulu Company. There was a 4-year bounty on him. Just beneath Brostjov was a half-familiar face. Valentine had to look a second time to be sure. A handsome young black man looked into the camera with calm, knowing eyes. Frat, listed in the handbill as F. Carlson, had a 10-year bounty on him for assassination and sabotage. Frat would be about 20 now, Valentine calculated. He'd last seen him when he brought Molly back to the Free Territory and reunited her with her family, when the youth was serving his term as an aspirant prior to becoming a wolf. Valentine watched Narcisse sneak a few spoonfuls out to the guard on duty, but when she stumped her way over to the men in the cells, the lieutenant growled at her. As she turned away from the prisoner's outstretched arms, she gave Valentine a significant wink.
6 minutes.
Narcisse had shown her talents before in Haiti and beyond, where her curious mixture of herbalism and voodoo rendered surprising results. She had once put a man named Boule to sleep with a Mickey in his chicken. He had also seen fevered men recover and be walking around in perfect health a day after one of her infusions. Biochemistry or magic, she performed miracles with food and the contents of her spice bag. Valentine counted the minutes and continued his scrawled essay on the loss of his fictitious stock, punctuated by plate scrapings and burps from behind. At last, he heard the utensils laid down.
Ugh, I'm stuffed.
Valentine crossed out a misspelled word and wrote a new one above it, with an eye on the lieutenant, occupied exploring one hairy ear with a pinky. The oldster looked thoughtful, then doubtful, and gave a little burp. The lieutenant stood up so fast his chair fell over backward. He went to the door at a quick walk, picking up the shotgun on the way.
We'll watch things in here.
He handed over the pump action to the man outside. The tall younger guard entered, the shotgun looking like a child's toy in his grasp.
He okay?
Just finished his meal and left. Shithouse run, I suppose.
The guard sat down and put his feet on the table, shotgun in his lap. Valentine tried to keep his eyes on the paper, rather than the odd crescent-shaped dimple across the man's forehead.
Oh, hell. I got him, too. Come on, can't leave you in here alone.
Well, I'm not out, pigman, or I'll throw you out!
The private's eyes were bright with anxiety. Valentine relented, and the man escorted him out and turned the key in the lock of the steel door. It looked like the only modification to the outside of the structure in dozens of years. Valentine stepped aside on the porch. The guard hurried around the corner, undoing his suspenders with the shotgun under his arm. Valentine heard the lock turn.
David! I thought you'd never come.
Narcisse smiled up at him,
Let me show you where they keep the spare keys.